10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And I understand that I am a worrier by nature. Again, Jaden Reed was out there running on his Jones fracture. He expects to play. God bless him. One guy who was not practicing, well, two. One was Elgton Jenkins, which I don't know if it's his back or something else. He was standing there. He was coaching during practice. So I have no indication that it's something to worry about. I will say that someone else, though, was very clear that he was not going to be discussing where he's at in his return to action. And that was Nate Hobbs. And Tausch, whenever a player, again, this is just from experience, makes a topic off limits, agrees to talk, but makes a topic off limits, my antenna go up again. So he did not practice. He did rehab when we were at practice on Monday. He did rehab when he was at practice on Thursday last week. He did rehab again yesterday. I think there's a possibility he's not ready to go on Sunday based on how he kind of handled the topic. Does that concern you at all? I like who they have left. If it's Nixon on one side, Carrington Valentine on the other, and Javon Bullard in the slot, I think they're still okay. But this is not a team that I want to go into without all of my options in the secondary. And so if he's not able to go, they are obviously weaker than they would be if they had him. Is this something in the middle of Micah mania that maybe we're not paying as much attention to because we're so focused on Parsons?
Yeah, and that's, I think, completely understandable. Mm-hmm. First look at Parsons in a Packer uniform yesterday. Old number one, pulling it out of the coffer, out of the basement of the G&G Historical Society and letting him use number one. That was an intriguing thing. But Nate Hobbs, correct me if I'm wrong, he had this surgery in hopes that he'd be back for week one.
Correct.
He
tore the meniscus in his knee. It was a small tear. It occurred on July 31st during a practice. Okay. That was a Thursday. He underwent surgery on Saturday the 2nd, the day of family night. Okay. And now today is September 2nd. It has been exactly 1 month since his surgery.
So I think you hope that that meniscus is back and you're able to play. I would think that he would have to be out practicing in order to get out there and play. You're not just going to throw him out there because there's other mm-hmm. things. Then you worry about other injuries that come up, soft tissue, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that will be disappointing if he can't. But I think the whole reason you go get a Micah Parsons and pair him opposite of Rashawn Gary is that you're going to be able to get after the quarterback, and you're going to make everybody's job in that secondary that much better than what they were. So mm-hmm. I want Hobbs to be healthy. It is a long season, and, yes, it's a big game. You have a huge 10-day period coming up here where you're playing – well, really, it's what? Yeah, it's probably 10 days where you're looking at this thing and saying, all right, you got the two of the top three teams in your conference, according to last year, at home. You get those two wins, all of a sudden, your tiebreaker against the Commanders and you're in the lead against the Detroit Lions, you're feeling really good about where you're at as a football team. You want everybody out there that can be, mm-hmm. but it's a long season. And you certainly don't want to hamper and put Hobbs in a position where he's going to miss more time because you're rushing to get him back.
I do want to get to next the left tackle situation that we spent a lot of time
on. Sounds
like
it's a wrap. Well, it's like Rap City, USA.
Certainly, according to at least one person who was asked directly, are you the starter? And he said, yes. So if that was supposed to be kept under wraps, someone didn't tell him, and instead he announced that it was Rap City,
USA. Or he said, I ain't worried about it. I've been playing here for 30-some-odd games, and yeah, you're darn right, I'm the starter. Maybe he's playing a little subterfuge. Maybe he's not, and he just said he is. There's all kinds of things.
Shido has them going to the Super Bowl, and he has himself starting at left tackle. We'll talk about that after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Well, Monday night at Lambeau just got a lot better thanks to American Family Insurance. Football season is finally here, and you need to enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes for your chance at the ultimate Packers game day experience. One lucky winner scores tickets to that November 10th game, pregame tailgate in Titletown. You have meal and games, a signed Jordan Love jersey, a Packer tour and swag, and so much more. Your dream weekend could be waiting. Don't miss your chance to enter. You don't even have to purchase anything. You got to enter by the stroke of midnight on October 23rd of 2025. Head over to ampfam.com/Packers. That's ampfam.com/Packers to enter. Again, you have until the 23rd of October to win the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes brought to you by American Family Insurance.
Shido is a go. We'll talk about it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
One great Packers tackle loves to say, I do declare. A current tackle did some declaring yesterday. Sheed, are you going to start a left tackle?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, I'm not sure the head coach wanted you to tell us that, but while we're discussing it, how do you feel about holding serve against Jordan Morgan? Well, I feel like it's my job. I'm going to go out there and handle my business and put the team in the best position to win. I'm doing my part. Feel like we're all going to be ready to play. All right, hey, man. God bless you. Love it. Is he in any danger?
It's a whole different animal because I saw this, and I know how coaches are. They want to keep things close to the vest. And when there was an injury, they would say, you know, don't say anything. You know, try to be as vague as you can. Mm-hmm. Don't give anything. And that's why, kind of to your point on Hobbs, when you ask those questions, you don't want to hurt the team, but you also want to make sure that the story is accurate. You don't want it to be, well, you know, oh, I'm going to miss this. You want the narrative to be the narrative that is the best for the football team, but not to denigrate yourself.
Right.
That's the fine line as a player that you walk doing this. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly certain that Matt LaFleur and the offensive coaches would rather not have, because Matt LaFleur was asked that last week, and he said, you'll see. Right? Yeah. Didn't he say,
yeah, you'll see.
You'll
yeah.
see. Mm-hmm.
You'll see on Sunday.
So I guess maybe yesterday was C-Day. You got to see Micah Parsons. You got to see Shido running with the ones, and Shido just said, yeah, man, what are you so surprised about?
Yeah.
Now, you missed half a camp. You missed a lot of camp. That's what I think.
True.
You allowed Jordan Morgan to really show, and I think in a good way, that he could play left tackle, at least in the preseason. But I think the Packers, with some of their concerns and injury and the versatility that Jordan Morgan has shown, I think the scenario, even if Jordan Morgan closed that gap and maybe even passed Shido, I think they look at it and say, well, here we got our guy. If something happens, Jordan's going to be our guy at three different spots. That lets them sleep better at night, but I'm certain probably doesn't make Jordan Morgan feel any better about it.
No. Jordan was not in there yesterday. I didn't get to talk to him. I did talk to Aaron Banks, who said that he believes he's past the back issues. He's now practiced three consecutive practices. And so he did also, like Kenny Clark did, confirm that the beds in Indianapolis were problematic and they exacerbated his back problems. So again, I don't know where they stayed. I don't know if that hotel serves ice cream anyway, so I'm not going to, even if I did know, I wouldn't give them, I guess, free advertising for uncomfortable beds. But it that still is kind of crazy that you had three different guys who either had an issue and had a flare-up or didn't have an issue and suddenly did. But the Banks one was more significant because he had a pre-existing back problem, and then it got worse on those soft beds, apparently. So he expects to be fully ready to go. Should I be, again, my skepticism, my Big J journalism skepticism, should I be worried about Elgton Jenkins now? Because one of the things, and we were joking about it at the time, right, of pulling a Sterling Sharp and holding out before the opener. I don't think that's what's occurring here. But, interesting. I'm curious now what might be going on with him. Are you concerned?
I don't think at this point, I don't think he would be practicing. He made the decision to start practicing and
Correct.
Go through camp mm-hmm. for as much as he could, understanding the scenario and probably having the Packers tell him, we're not doing anything. This is where you're at. And by the way, I think the Micah Parsons trade has pretty much eliminated almost all chance of Elgton coming back to the G&G. Uh-huh. I think that money and the way Green Bay allocates and how they spend with other players they're going to have to pay, I don't think paying Elgton Jenkins a top-of-the-market deal at center after, he's going to be 30 years old, I think. That's not how Goody does business. So nope. I would be surprised, and crazy things happen. But I'm sure that would also kind of come into play. But I would guess Elgton probably just didn't feel it, was not ready to roll. And I think it's one of the biggest things to watch. You never want to see a guy after a long break not be able to practice. And I'm guessing they weren't even in pads. Maybe they were, but I would think that yesterday they probably weren't. And when you have all of that and you factor it in, it's not a plus. It's not a plus, but I would hope and bet that Elgton will find a way to get out there Sunday afternoon against the Detroit Lions.
I believe that to be the case, too. But as you always say, backs and feet. And you've got some guys with back issues, and you got a guy with a foot issue. So we'll see how those things play out. Maybe they should just start eating cleaner.
What do they do? What do they
what
do,
do, they
if,
do where?
If Elgton can't go, Sean Ryan and Jordan at right guard?
Correct. Yep. Because, by the way, their backup center, or their theoretical backup center, Jacob Monk, is on IR. He's not an
option.
They
don't play at center. They didn't even play him at center as a backup, did they?
Substandard. Less than ideal. Where can I find these videos of you and Eleanor at Jones Dairy Farm? Where can I find
ESPN
those?
Madison, ESPN Milwaukee. Jesse, I'm sure you could retweet one from the Wildy and Tausch account at some point.
I'll get them shared. I'll even send one straight to Jason next time we have one up.
Thank you for your service.
And Eleanor has been a star. She is. I've gotten a lot of compliments on Eleanor. None for me, but a lot for Eleanor. And that's the way it should be. And you're also getting a lot of compliments with Jones Dairy Farm. Family owned and operated 7 generations in Fort Atkinson since 1889. They're best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe. It's available in pork, chicken, and turkey. And when we went down there, we ate more bacon. We had sausage. We had everything that they
Braun
had.
Braunschweiger.
We had Braunschweiger. We had Canadian bacon, and we had that great bacon. But, it's been all hip. Let's eat clean. Everybody, let's eat clean. You know who's been doing it clean forever?
Jones Dairy Farm.
Their sausage made with fresh meat only, natural seasoning. None of these fillers or nitrates or MSG or gluten. None of that stuff. It's all natural and it's all Wisconsin company. One of the all-time great Wisconsin companies. Seven generations. Check out our video. Jesse will put that up at some point as well. Eleanor and I, we have some more videos coming out in the near future as well. We got a couple of fun things I'm going to be doing with Max. That'll be coming out later in the month. Jones Dairy Farm. What a place. Pretty good little ad lib, huh? I think it's a great place. I love it.
We'll see you next time, and what a place. What a place Wildy and Tausch is. You want to stay here next, so stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Sunday at Lambeau Field. Packers practiced yesterday as they returned from a long weekend. It was Micah Parsons' first practice as a Packer. And there's a buzz. There's an undeniable buzz in that locker room. There's an excitement. I do want to get to at some juncture that there are some sad people, though. The defensive tackles...
It'll be for a day or two.
No, I think I get it's that. Been a few more days than that.
No, but so here's the deal, and I've seen this in real time, and Kenny Clark is a great Packer, Packer Hall of Famer, somebody that has been awesome and a leader in that room for a long time. So it's a little bit different than when somebody's released during training camp, or Marco and Wally when they didn't come back, and there's a huge void when you come back in that locker room and you're sad. Somebody gets injured. There is you've known these guys for a long time. Rashawn Gary's known Kenny Clark for a long time. All of these guys have looked at Kenny Clark, and now all of a sudden, the name tag is whipped off the locker. The locker's cleaned out, and somebody's moved in.
Micah Parsons.
And it is sad.
He's got Kenny's locker.
It is sad. That's how this world works. And it's so I understand all that, and I can remember the first couple of times I used to ride down to practice with Marco, and all of a sudden, no Marco. All right, who's going to be your new partner? That the world comes at you quick, and why you guys joke at me a lot, because it does. And you have to move on, and it can be – there'll be times where you'll reminisce and you'll think about – how that goes, but for the most part, the unfortunate part of this is you're moving along. There's no time to, sit and stew and ponder how sad you are about Kenny, especially when you have the excitement level that the rest of the team has with Micah Parsons. And you do, too, because I heard Rashawn Gary say it's going to be a nightmare for opposing teams. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody understands what this move means. Mm-hmm. You can be sad, but you're going to move along quickly because that's just the nature of how a locker room in the NFL works.
Yeah. I think for those guys, Kenny Clark, among the other things he did was he started this tradition where they all would come to his house a couple times a week and eat and watch film and then watch the NBA Finals during the mini camp or whatever it might have been. And he really took it seriously to be the big brother.
Sure.
Those guys would joke, and Kenny had fun with it too. He's not old enough to be the cool uncle. He was still a big bro because he still hasn't turned 30. But like all those guys, LaFleur during the press conference to announce the Micah Parsons trade and introduce him used the word revered, which I thought was the perfect word for how Kenny was viewed in that locker room, because he wasn't, you've played with guys that were outspoken and loud and would be, demonstrative in their style of leadership. That wasn't him. That wasn't his style. And I'm fascinated by the fact that in the Cowboys' view, acquiring him was the deal breaker. Like, if you didn't include, Goody told us.
The deal maker.
Right.
Yeah, it was the deal maker.
If you didn't include him, they were not making the trade. So,
do you think, and this is not to be disrespectful, because I respect the heck out of Kenny Clark.
We do, yes.
Do you think when they said, you have to throw Kenny Clark in, do you think Goody smirked and was like...
Yeah, I don't want
to... He did
this,
not have any problems putting Kenny Clark in this trade.
Like, I found myself wondering, did he feign reluctance?
Like, fake it, yeah.
As a negotiator.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, Kenny's
been around a long time. He's
revered an important part of what we do here. I don't know if I want to part with him. And the contract that I wish I hadn't given him. Yeah, no, let me think about that some more. Okay, I guess we can include him in the trade.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Kenny, but look, for all the criticism I get for being too much of a Goody hater, his approach, while cold, is way better than the approach mine would be. We wouldn't win if I was a general manager of a team, because I would be feeling my feelings instead of making the cold-hearted decisions. Trading Kenny Clark when you were going to move on from him after this season anyway and get out from under his contract was the right decision. Now, did I have Colby Wooden near tears when he was talking about him yesterday? I did. It was very emotional for him and for Carl Brooks, too. But is it the right decision in order to get Micah Parsons? Absolutely it is. So I'm not, like, again, we can have...
This was going to be Kenny's last year in Green Bay.
It was.
More than likely anyway.
Well, he's turning 30 on October 4th. Of course it was his last year. In fact, I know Jesse has LaFleur talking about Kenny, and here it is.
What a rare, rare, rare opportunity to get a guy of his caliber. Now, I will say, for me, it's extremely bittersweet because Kenny Clark, since the day I was here or got hired here, I want to say I think he's the last guy that was on the roster when I was hired. Now, I know we drafted Elton and Rashawn, but I'm really thankful for our time together because he is a pro's pro. Obviously a great player, and as great of a player as he is, I believe he's an even better person. And he is revered in that locker room. And so it is bittersweet when you lose a player, not only of that caliber, but just the type of leader he was for a locker room. But at the same time, certainly, you know, like I said, it's just rare that you get an opportunity to get a guy like a Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and everything he said there is the truth. It just is. Yep. And so that's not a knock on Kenny at all. I think I caught Carl Brooks by surprise a little bit for thinking in these terms, but I think now it's a real thing that Kenny's going to – and I would love to – I haven't reached out to him yet. I wanted to let the dust settle, and they play on Thursday, right, in the opener against the Eagles.
They do.
I wanted to let the dust settle for him, but it would be great to have him on. He's always been a good friend of our show. But the question I have for Kenny is, what is he going to do when all these guys that revere him and love him all want a jersey swap with him after that game in week 4? Like, can you have, like, extra jerseys made? Are you going to wear a different one each quarter? Because all those guys are going to want it. They told me that yesterday. Yeah. Because that's how much they love the guy.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I love when players get their due from an organizational standpoint, and I love the fact that Matt LaFleur, you know, obviously the excitement level is at an all-time high for this team, but I love the fact that there's enough humanity to let everybody know what Kenny meant to this team, because that does mean a lot to guys when you – we all understand that this is a cold-hearted business, and there's a right way to go about it, and I thought Matt LaFleur covered that really well.
All right, we will continue our conversation as we get ready for Sunday's opener. I want to remind you that whether it's the 2025 season or the 1919 season, Associated Bank has been there as the official bank of the Packers for over 100 years, and they're still providing great customer service to their customers, just like they did back in 1919 when the Packers were first starting out. Now, I don't think they had early pay. I don't think they had credit monitoring. I don't think they had fraud protection. They probably didn't have Packers checking. I don't know when that started, but the customer service has been there the whole time, and you should experience it. If you're unhappy with your bank, it's time to make the switch. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at GrasslandButter.com.
I want to get into during the 11 o'clock hour. I want Tausch to tell us again how he ended up with number 65 when he was drafted. Because
what are you talking about? What, you think I had a choice in what number I got?
I understand. All right, that's the, save it.
Okay.
Because a lot of interesting conversations yesterday about jersey numbers.
I appreciated the title of your article at channel3000.com.
Yeah, I was playing the music in my head when I wrote that headline. So thanks for reading. But we'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour. My question for now is, did you hear what Dak Prescott said in the wake of the Micah Parsons
trade? I didn't.
Trade?
I remember.
That's about to change. That's about to change right now. Here he is.
Nice. I mean, we added a great player. Obviously, got some picks for the future. I'm not going to say we're better. We've got to go out there and prove it. We'd have to prove it even if he was on this team. So I'm not going to say that by any means. But I know adding a guy like Kenny Clark, adding a true leader, a real man that's going to only elevate this team, who's been a Pro Bowl player and is excited about being here. I know our focus right now is Philly. I think that's everybody's focus in that locker room. I don't think anybody's hung up on that. As I said, there's enough news and enough media about it. I think as much as anything, it's good that a solution happened. And obviously, Micah got paid very well, and great for him and his family. And we'll see him here in about a month. So just honestly glad that I can't say glad, but yeah, glad that we're moved past that and everybody seems happy because of it.
So I haven't talked to Dak Prescott many times. He did a back when we still did conference calls, we talked to him. But Eric in our YouTube comments was suggesting that he listens to us in podcast form, and we're much easier to listen to at 1.25 speed. Apparently, I talk too slowly, or somebody does on the panel.
I have noticed that when I listen back.
It sounds to me like Dak Prescott.
Do we talk too slow?
I mean, I don't really want to get into this right now.
Dak Prescott talks very fast. He talks at 1.5, I think. I'm thoughtful. I'm sorry, sue me. I didn't mean to get us distracted.
Who's the golfer that golfs a little too slow for everyone else's? Is that DeChambeau or who's the one?
No.
Tung Chai JD?
Kepka?
No. Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay is the guy. Everybody hates golfing with him.
Yeah. Can't golf with him. Cantlay.
I'd say Jason is the Patrick Cantlay of sports radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't stand slow golf, and I feel like I kind of roll. I don't feel like I'm a slow talker.
I'm going to assume that wasn't about you. That's what I'm going to
say. Okay. All right. There's very few things that will make me really pause. Being slow, like slow-footed and not being able to run 40s, that's reality. But slow on this and in golf, you can ask anybody that's played golf with me. You can say I stink and I spray it and I do this. Nobody's ever going to say I'm methodical and I play slow, ever. Continue.
Grip it and rip it. I didn't mean to sidetrack us with that piece of information. What do you make of Dak Prescott saying what Dak Prescott
has to say?
Yeah, they're
not better. Like, listen, man, you as a teammate understand the game, and as a quarterback you have to say the right things. But everybody in that Cowboys locker room, for as euphoric and excited as Packer fans are and that locker room is with Micah coming here, that trade pretty much tells you where the Cowboys feel they are. Because if you had – and Kenny Clark, again, really good football player, no question. He ain't Micah Parsons. There's not going to be that same impact. So you let your team know by your actions. Hey, I really like you as a player. Well, then pay me. Well, no, I don't like you that much.
Mm-hmm.
I really think we are a championship contender. But we're going to trade our best defensive player in the prime of his career. Those things don't add up. That's why I always tell you, don't listen to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dak Prescott is being paid $60 million a year. He is the leader of this team. And for him to come out and say anything but what he said would be very dumb. And he is not dumb. So does Dak think that they're a better team today than they were last Thursday? The answer is emphatically no. And does he realize he's probably going to be pummeled by the Rashawn Gary, Micah Parsons duo? Yeah, does he think that Edgerrin Cooper is going to be coming and potentially trying to split his ribs? Yes, he does. And will that happen? I don't know. But the odds of it happening are higher because Micah Parsons is with the G&G and not with the Dallas Cowboys. So they all know. They know, but they can't say. And they can't say until this thing goes off the rails. And then they're all going to say, oh, what the hell did you expect to happen? We traded our best player before the season started, and you thought we were going to win a championship, and we're sitting here at 7-9 finishing the season up, and you're asking me what went wrong? Go ask Jerry. That's what happens. That's what will happen. And the coaches will say, well, we kind of got put behind the eight ball. They're going to say all the right things now. But I guarantee you when they got to CYA themselves and say why the season went south, this is going to be Exhibit A as far as why it is. And then when they trade guys at the trading deadline, they'll say, well, why did we finish 6-11? Well, is it coaching? No, probably not. It's probably because we got rid of our best players. That's how it goes. And that's the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, thank you.
Where did the sing-songy thing come from?
I think it's an after effect of the 1.25 speed thing.
Yeah, I wanted to go a little faster. Jason's right.
Okay. Yep, I read that. Well, take your time when you tell us about Tito's and your transfusions.
Transfusions. You can have a Bloody Mary. Can do that little Gatorade mixed drink. That's the rehydrator, I think we call that. You know, I love a lot of things. Football, firing up the grill, and a great cocktail in my hand. And when it's time to kick back, whether you're tailgating, watching from the couch, grilling with buddies, Tito's Handmade Vodka is your go-to. Again, whatever your cocktail is, it just tastes that much better when it's Tito's. And you know what else? Tito's gives back in a big way. Partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make sure Tito's Handmade Vodka is in it, crafted to be savored responsibly.
We're going to talk numbers, our version of the numbers game, sort of, next to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. That happens in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.